This is Doug Hastings, Vice President of Moody Radio, and we're thankful for support from our listeners and businesses like United Faith Mortgage.
If you go to our mortgage team's website, you'll find hundreds of testimonials of real Christian radio listeners we've helped. Laura here is a recent friend who is kind enough to share a few words with her local station.
I was actually referred to United Faith Mortgage through my mother-in-law. We decided it was time for us to start looking for a house, and I reached out to Kelly, and we found several houses we liked, but, you know, with the seller's market, things kept falling through. But anytime we needed her, she was there for us. She got everything we needed as soon as we asked for it, and she made it work. She made sure that if that was the house that our family wanted, we were going to get that house. They're a wonderful company, and we're just really blessed that we found them in the process, that they helped us get through it, and we are in the home of our dreams, and our family is so happy.
We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp., 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to nmlsconsumeraccess.org. Corporate NMLS number 1330. Equal housing lender. Not licensed in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, and Utah.
What do? When you get a raise? Do you go for a bigger car, better car, bigger house, bigger flat screen or concave? Or do you say, God, you gave me this. You blessed me. I don't want to misuse this. How do you want me to use this?
You're listening to Treasure Truth with pastor and author James Ford Jr., senior pastor at the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us today as we continue a lesson called Learning from Losers. And Pastor, probably all of us have had those moments in life where we unexpectedly come into a little bit of money. Maybe it's, like you said, you get a raise, you get an inheritance, a larger tax refund than you thought you were going to get. Help us get to that point where we could say, God, how do you want me to use this? Because I think for a lot of us, our first thing is, ooh, now I can get what I want.
That's right. And that's why I use that illustration in this teaching, Steve. Because I have been a pastor for 38 years, and here's what I learned. There are two things that everybody loves, but nobody wants to talk about in church, and they definitely don't want the pastor talking about it. That's money and sex. Mm-hmm. And the reason I use this illustration is because, like you said, generally the first thing we think of is, man, I've been wanting to get this, I've been wanting to get that. But I use this illustration to make a point, to get you to have an aha moment, to think and to meditate and say, you know what? Yeah, if everything I have belongs to God and comes from God, then why don't I ask him why he gave it to me?
Sure.
And I think that's important.
Yeah.
And I think whenever we have him as the priority, okay, you know, I say it all the time. I told my congregation, there'll be certain things that you'll hear others say, you'll know. My pastor says that all the time. And that is this, Matthew 6:33, seek ye third, seek ye second.
You're getting closer.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I ain't got nothing else to say.
All right. Well, we're going to have to, get into our lesson today then to hear more of what we're talking about and where we're going. So join us in 1 Corinthians chapters 9 and 10 as we continue the message, Learning from Losers. Here's Pastor Ford.
Anybody know how many fight? Because we don't know how many people all together, but we do know how many fighting men came out. How many fighting men came out? Anybody know? 600,000 fighting men. So 600,000 fighting men. In order to be a fighting man in Israel, how old did you have to be? 20 years old. And when could you retire? 40 years old. So then there were 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 40. That does not cover the men and boys 19 and under and 41 and over. And it does not include the women and the girls. So the number that I've seen was the least number is 2.2 million people coming out of, and some go as high as 4 million people coming out of Egypt, out of the wilderness. How many out of all these people, let's take the low number, 2,200,000, how many made it? How many made it? Two. What's their names? Joshua and Caleb. Out of over 2 million people who go out in the wilderness. Because remember, now the old generation died in the new generation. And in the new generation, there was only two individuals who were over 40 years old. And that's Joshua and Caleb. Everybody else died in the wilderness. Do you get what he's trying to say? Now, I want you to think about this. Think about the things that they saw. Think about the things that they heard. Think about the things they experienced. So the 10 plagues, I believe, I think I got the right number. One of y'all helped me. Only four of those plagues fell on everybody in Egypt, including the Israelites. But at the fifth one, the fifth through the 10th, the last six, God made a distinction. And there was darkness in Egypt, and there was sunshine, light, in Goshen, where the children of Israel were. They didn't experience. God showed them, you belong to me, and I have separated everybody else from you, and I'm treating you different from the way that I'm treating them. Look at the miracles that they saw. 10 miracles where God came against the pantheon of Egypt. Pantheon, all is God. They had 10 gods in their pantheon, and every plague was God going after their small g God. Every one of them. You got to look it up. It's a fascinating study. You mean to tell me when he brought the flies, they worship flies. They worship the Nile River. God turned it into blood, made it worthless. Show everybody under the water is not under the blood. And so what happened? They come out and they're trapped between rock and a hard place. And Moses lifts up the rod of God, and the Red Sea comes out like a wall, and the wind blows all night, and they walk across on concrete. Let me tell you something. All these folk that are crying for miracles today is not going to make a difference, because he doesn't want us to live by miracles. He wants us to walk by faith. And they saw all these miracles and knew the power of God and experienced the power of God and still didn't believe him. Look at all the people Jesus healed. And they didn't believe either. So then he wants us to know the distribution of it. Everybody had it. Andrew Carnegie was asked how he made it in America. He said, when I came to America, I was told America is the land of opportunity. I just took advantage of it. I just took advantage of it. What did they do? God gave them an open door. And they said, no, we won't go. And God said, okay, I'll open the door. No man can close. But if you don't walk through that door, there is a window of opportunity. And I don't know how I can get you to understand. When God opens the door, you better walk through, because it won't always be open. And so what did God do? He closed the door. And when he closed the door, they said, okay, we'll go. And God said, no, it's too late. They said, we're going to go anyway. And they went up there and got jacked. Because there is what kind of a time? I don't know Christ Bible Church. I'm just wondering, is it our at time? Is it our purpose time? That God sets the et by his kairos time. What is that? That's his perfect time. God has a time. You don't think so? Galatians 4:4. In the fullness of time, the plethora, in the fullness, at the right time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them who were under the law from the law. Jesus was born at the right time. He was born when Greek philosophical thought and language permeated the entire earth, so we could have a comprehensive text manual about God in the New Testament. That Rome, with its Pax Romana, Roman peace, and roads everywhere for Paul to take the gospel and be protected by garrisons and Jewish synagogues dotted all over the landscape, the perfect time for Christ to be born. And now you and I, Jesus said, greater things will they do than even I did. What does he mean? There's more believers. And Jesus didn't have an automobile, a cell phone, could hook up on Facebook or social media, or he didn't have all those things. And now what are we doing with the things that we have? Are we using them as opportunities to promote and lift up Jesus Christ? For he said, if I, even I, be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Let me ask you a question. What do you do when you get a raise? Do you go for a bigger car, better car, bigger house, bigger flat screen or concave? Or do you say, God, you gave me this. You blessed me. I don't want to misuse this. How do you want me to use this? That's a whole new paradigm shift for some of us. And so what happens then? I mean, how can you have, we all went to school, how can you have the same classroom with the same teacher, with the same material, and some people don't excel? Some people get an A, some people get an F, some people get in between. It's because they're not appropriating what's been given. Question is, do you? I was teasing somebody. He said, you always say we have about 800. We do. We have about 800 members. Not on the roll. We don't just keep, you know, we have about 800 attenders. I think we have about 350 members, something like that. I don't know. But we have about 800 attenders. But if you look around between this morning's Bible study and this evening Bible study, we may have 110 people. Where are the other 690 people? You think about it. And so I was telling the person, he said, you never get them all there one time. I said, I can tell you how you get them there one time. How would you get them there? All I got to do is say, second Sunday in March will be my last Sunday. And everybody will show up because they want to hear what I have to say as I'm on my way out the door. I know it to be true. There'd be folk you ain't seen in a long while. And then they'd be talking about, why are you leaving? Because you ain't never here. And so what happens? It is Joshua and Caleb. Well, you think about it. Somebody has a nice body. And we say, wow, I want to have a body like that. Well, look, they ain't never had a scoop of Haagen-Dazs in their life. That's why they got the body fat of a coat hanger. They don't eat bread and pasta and sugar and all that kind of stuff. It's like somebody said, man, you're doing well, Pastor Ford, you're losing. Yes, I am. It's a sacrifice. I drive by Dat Donuts and the smell fills my car. And I was telling them this morning, this is true. I was craving so bad, I went to the bank, and every time I go to the bank, I come right by it. I don't know why I do that. You know you ain't supposed to tempt yourself like that. And I drove by, I could smell it. Oh, my goodness. And they got a barbecue place, too. Sacrifices. Yeah. We want what others have, but we don't want to do what they did to get it. Never going to happen. It's never going to happen. You got to make your own chairs, and you got to make your own tables. Because God only makes trees. And so Joshua and Caleb came back with a report that what God said, where he blessed us, it's there. And it's ours for the taking. Everybody else came back, we're grasshoppers and they're giants. Now notice the details of the privileges. Here's what they took advantage of. Here's what he says, that all our fathers were under the cloud. Stop. That's God's piloting. That's God's piloting. I put guidance because it doesn't start with P. But I put it in parentheses so you'll know what I'm talking about. That God led them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The direction of God. And God said this to Moses in Exodus. He said, I'm going to put a cloud up in the sky. I'm going to speak to you from the cloud so that they would know I'm present in the cloud.
You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford, and we have to pause right there, but we'll get back to this message, learning from losers, in just one moment. You know, I hope that you're learning through what you hear on this radio program, learning truths of God's Word, what passages mean, and how we apply that to our lives. And if that's the case, I want to ask you to consider helping us reach even more people. You know, we're listener supported, and that means we're dependent upon your generosity, your financial giving, to produce the program, to get it on the air, and for all the things that happen behind the scenes to make this a reality each and every day. So if you are benefiting from listening to Pastor Ford's teaching, would you give a gift today? You can do so by coming to our website. It's treasuredtruthradio.org. Click on the donate button, and there you can give a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly gift. You know, just like at home, you have regular monthly expenses. We have those here as well. And so your monthly support
really makes a big difference as we sit down and produce this program each and every day. Give at treasuretruthradio.org and click on donate. Again, here is Pastor Ford.
What more can you ask for? A talking cloud. Talking to your leader. Telling him, and you can hear the cloud. It's the voice of God talking to your leader, and you see him leading you where he wants you to go. Why would you complain? If you know this is God, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Exodus 13, 21, and 14, when you begin to look at it, you see God says, I'm the one that's leading you. Tell them to follow the cloud. Follow the cloud. Man, God wants us to follow the cloud. We don't have it in the sky right now. Here's the cloud we're supposed to follow. Right here. This is the direction that God has given for you and for me. And the question is, are we following the cloud? And so then he says, we're under the cloud. Notice what else he says. Not only were they all under the cloud, all passed through the sea. That's God's protection. So now he's talking about coming through the Red Sea and how coming through the Red Sea, God protected them. These are blessings. These are benefits that God has given to you, and you have taken them for granted. Now, did they? Yes, they did. They got tired of following the cloud. Why are we going around in circles? You got me going in circles. That's old school in the house. Nobody. But then remember what they wanted to do? They got together a go back to Egypt committee. Now my question is this. If you want to go back to Egypt, what cloud is going to lead you back? Who's going to protect you on the way back? And here's the big question that they didn't think about. Who's going to open up the Red Sea for you to go back? But then notice, and they were all baptized under Moses. Now the word baptizo is what? Somebody remember, what is it? Is it translated? No, it's transliterated. Literary, literature, we get that word. It means to bring the spelling over. So since there wasn't an English equivalent word, they brought the spelling of baptize over, and we think baptize means immersion. No, it doesn't. The primary meaning of baptism is identification. Identification. Well, when we were baptized in water, what did we do? We identified physically in the spiritual death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that took place. We're saying that this baptism, water baptism, is an outward sign of an inward reality. I am dead, and I've been buried, and I've been raised in a newness of life. I've identified in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me read it that way. It says, and they were all identified under Moses. That is, they were under Moses's pastoral leadership, and they took that for granted. Numbers chapter 14, 17 reasons why people don't listen to their leadership when their leadership hasn't done any sin. No sin in Moses' life. You go through that chapter, there's at least 17 reasons why they rebelled against Moses. So God's pastoral leadership, and then God's provision. It says, and they did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. And I'm going to talk about this. They drank of that which was Christ. So here's what we have. The Ark of the Covenant contained three things. Who remembers what they are? Holler them out. Okay, the tablets of the Ten Commandments. Aaron's rod that budded. When God said, I'm going to show them who's the leader. Aaron, Moses, this bud's for you. What else? Jar of manna. So then, three things in the Ark of the Covenant. The tablets, the manna, the staff. And the focus was, hey, it's covered with a mercy seat. Why? Because I should destroy you because the covenant we are in says that you ought to obey me. I gave you everything you needed. I gave you my precepts. I gave you my provision. I gave you my pastoral leadership. And you took advantage of all three. Thank God for his mercy. Now, we do it all the time, don't we? You think about it. We husbands do it in marriage, and you wives too, do it in marriage. We take advantage. We get used to each other, and we begin to take each other for granted. How about our young people with education? Somebody was hosed. Somebody was beaten. Somebody died to give you the privilege to go to school. And on it goes. I mean, it's like we need to take evaluation, inventory about abused liberties. Now watch this. For they all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Remember what happened. There's no water. You've had over 2 million people, and they begin to complain and to murmur. You know, and the Bible says, let all things be done without murmuring and complaining. That's one we could obey. Here's what struck me. He didn't say the rock represented Christ. He said the rock was Christ. See, you got to have a sense of humor. The rock that followed them. So there's this big boulder. You got these 2 million people, and you got a boulder walking behind them. I ain't making this up. It said, and the rock that followed them was Christ. Now, I know the rock didn't walk, but here's the idea. The provision was there all the time because he is the source and the substance and the sustainer of our lives. And so they should have been content to know that wherever God guides, God always provides. And so he says, that rock was Christ. Now get this, and then I'm done. How does it represent Jesus Christ? Because he said to Moses, he said, Moses, strike the rock. That is a symbol of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That he struck the rock, crucifixion, and out of it came life-giving water. In him we live and move and have our being, and apart from him, we can do nothing. That Christ is everything that we need. Ephesians 2:18, he is our peace. He didn't give us peace. He is our peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 29 and 30, he's made unto us sanctification, righteousness, wisdom. In other words, are we taking our blessings for granted? So what happened? The rock that followed them was Christ. And out came sustaining water when the rock was struck. And then you remember what happened the second time? It's a picture of Jesus Christ in his death, burial, resurrection, and in his sanctification. So when he struck the rock, that was justification. That is, we are justified by the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He died for us. Romans 5:8, but while we were yet sinners, God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But then the second time, remember what he said? Speak to the rock. And Moses struck the rock. Why speak to the rock? Because it's a symbol of Jesus Christ. You just crucified to yourself afresh the Son of God. Because as we live this Christian life, all we have to do is 1 John 1:9. He don't need to be crucified again, and we don't need to get saved again. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I wonder if we can take inventory tonight. Let's begin to take inventory tonight. I don't know how this applies to you. I already shared how it applies to me and the things that I begin to examine myself in light of. Let me share all of it with you. I need to do my own work. But so do you. What is it? What privileges has God given you that you're taking for granted?
That can be a real convicting question if we really reflect on that and are honest about it, right? You're listening to Treasure Truth with Pastor Ford. It's a message called Learning from Losers, and we'll continue to look at this next time. I do hope you make it a point to tune in. You know, if you ever miss a broadcast, or you know you can't be by the radio, and you want to make sure that you don't miss what's coming up, come to our website and sign up to begin podcasting the program. That's a great way to listen whenever it fits your schedule. And if you happen to use iTunes to podcast, would you go ahead and rate us? It really is a benefit to the ministry and helps us be found by more people. You can also listen on the go if you have the Moody Radio app. And not only can you listen to Treasure Truth, but you'll be able to listen to not just this radio program, but other Moody-produced programs and streaming music stations. Now, you can find the app by going to your favorite app store, like Google Play or the iOS App Store. Or you can find it when you come to our website, treasuretruthradio.org, and we'll link you to it. Again, that's at treasuretruthradio.org. Well, thanks for listening today. Thanks also to our producers, Amy Rios and Ryan McConaughey. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.